You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Has Jesus been raised in your life? Has Jesus been raised in your life? Today on Words of Encouragement.
I have a question for you this morning. I've entitled this, Has Jesus Been Raised in Your Life? Has Jesus been raised in your life? Wow, Easter Sunday. I'll never forget the little short pants outfit that my mama put me in on an Easter Sunday morning, of which there is a picture, and I think I may have shared that before here. I was going to try to find it again, but oh well, I just couldn't. But that was one of those times that it's so funny, it was just impressed on my mind and in my memory, and I will never forget it. And my face in the picture says it all. I have my little Easter basket, and I have one knee pushed up against another, and I'm doing this. I'm looking down like this, like I did not want to wear these short pants. Did not like short pants at that time, just did not like them. And if I wore them today, you would say, I don't need to like them. My knees have not seen sunlight in a while. But it seems like time flies, doesn't it? My goodness. It seems like time has just flown. Time marches on, and it's as if sometimes we're standing still. I mean, it just keeps on going. Things keep happening. People are born and people pass, and it just keeps happening. We just keep moving forward. Even if we long for a time to slow down, it continues to simply tick by. Here we are sitting in the middle of Easter Sunday. When this day is over, its purpose does not need to be dismissed until next year. I know sometimes we move along, all of a sudden, oh, it's Easter, yay, and then, oh, then, whoa, whoa, whoa. The meaning of Easter, the meaning of Resurrection Sunday flows throughout the rest of the year. It's not just on one day. The celebration of what God has done through Jesus Christ does not just stop today. The purpose behind this Sunday should be intentionally carried with us every day of our lives. The news of the empty tomb is something that brings good news and great joy to all people, not just for today, but for all of time. If you are able and willing, I ask that you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. The Bible tells us, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." May God bless the reading of His Word. I invite you to be seated. The first thing I want us to see here on this Easter Sunday morning is that Jesus rose from the dead and is alive. Now, picture this. Now, you've thought about this. Almost everyone in here has lost someone. Almost everyone in here has someone who is whose body is in a grave somewhere in a cemetery. And when you go, you do not expect that grave to be empty, do you? You expect it to look like it did the last time. Maybe the flowers are worn. Maybe you're coming to replace some flowers. Maybe you're putting something else there at the gravestone. These women were coming to the tomb expecting an occupied tomb and the body of Jesus to be the one who occupied that tomb. Their minds were there. That's what I want you to have in your head today. That's what they had in their minds. They were going with intent to anoint the body. That's what they were going to do. They had seen Him die. As far as they could tell, the end had come. Jesus is no longer with them. He had ceased to exist. just like friends and relatives that they had, this person, Jesus, had died. It was over. This is what they felt. This is how they approached the tomb. Look at verses 3 through 5. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. What? And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" They are shocked. These two in dazzling clothing ask them, why are you seeking the living one among the dead? Now, wait a minute. They're implying that Jesus is alive. They're implying that he lives. Wait a minute. Look at verses 6 through 10. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee?" Remember this, they said? Remember? "Saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?" What does verse 8 say? "And they remembered his words." Wow. Do you think they got chill bumps? I think so. Do you think that there suddenly welled up inside of them a joy inexpressible? I think so. They remembered his words. Oh, he did say that. Oh, this is big. This is no small matter. This is good news. This is big news. This is life-changing news. And they returned, it says, and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, also the other women with them, were telling these things to the apostles. So these women, their shock turned to excitement about the fact that Jesus is alive. And they go and they tell. They went and told the apostles. But the Bible says, all the rest. They told people about the empty tomb. They told people that he had risen. They were telling the good news. These were about 120 others who were believers and from whom the replacement of Judas would be selected. They needed to know that Jesus was alive. This news revealed that Jesus truly was the Son of God. Now, I mean, look, there weren't people coming to life every day in that day. There aren't people coming back to life here every day. This is an unusual experience, an unusual happening. And so they knew because he had said he would rise again. So what do we see? We see the women's lives were affected by the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. They told people about it. The news of his being alive showed that he was no ordinary man, but the very Son of God. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. And this is news that must be trumpeted from the rooftops. This is news that needs to be shared. It is news that is true for all who believe in him. And it can be true for you today. Yes. It can be true for you today. Has Jesus been raised to life in your life? Have you accepted him in? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, to be alive in you? To be in charge of your life. Oh, preacher, I don't like that being in charge stuff. I want to be in charge. I don't want anybody else to be in charge. I think it's grown beyond Texas. I think there are many Americans who feel, I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I want to do what I want to do. I want to make my choices. But when you give your life to Christ, when you give your heart to him, you're saying to him, you be in charge. I can't make it without you. You are admitting a weakness. You're admitting that you can't make it without him. And that's the truth. But we've all got to get to that point where we're willing to admit that we need his help. He is ready and willing to forgive us of our sins. Our sins stand between us and Him, us and heaven. And they must be forgiven. We must truly give ourselves over to Him. If He conquered death, hell, and the grave, listen, He can handle anything that's thrown your way. He can handle anything that's been thrown in your lap. Anything. Listen, you can face whatever comes your way as long as you belong to Jesus. He will enable you. He will enable you. Do I mean that you'll win every game of chance known to man? No. Shouldn't be playing those anyway. Do I mean you will never have any problems? No. Do I mean that sickness will never touch your body? No. Well, then what do I mean? I mean that when these problems come, you will have the hand of Almighty God to walk you through it, or around it, or over it, or under it. I mean, look, what more do you want? It's the hand of Almighty God who's able to be with you and walk with you through tough times, through good times. There's nobody better than God Himself. The fact of the resurrection helps us to know that God truly can do anything. If He has power over death, don't you think He can take care of whatever you're facing? Don't you think He can take care of it? I remember when I was in school, and boy, those days, praise be unto the God, are in the past. But those tests, I mean, it seemed like you had teachers and professors that were bent on breaking you. They just felt like, ha, I'm going to trick all these people. You know, not only do they just want you to know the knowledge, oh, they're going to trick you into knowing it. It's like, what? What? Why can't we just have a test and take the test and there it is? No, we've got to make it hard. We've got to make it difficult and tricky. And I think, what is all this? What is all this? But I remember that night before that Hebrew test. Oh, I remember it well. I was shaking. I was thinking, oh man, I've got to pass. I've got to pass this test. Somehow. And then I was able to sit back and say, you know what, God, if you want me to pass this test, I have studied. If you want me to pass it, I'll pass it. If you don't, I won't. I just had to say, you know what? Hey, there it is. It's not in my hands. I just can't. I've got to have the help of God. I passed the class. We'll put it that way. All right. If you were wondering. If you've trusted in the Lord for the forgiveness of your sins, if you've done that, then God will forgive you. The truth that you have sinned is what separates you from God. But through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, salvation from eternal punishment has been made possible. Through Jesus. Through Jesus. With Him inside of you, you can face anything. In Him, you do not have to live a defeated life. You don't have to live a life that says, everything's so horrible. No, you can live a life where you can find the smile because Jesus is the one who gives it to you. You have eternal life. You have eternal life. If you've trusted in Him, if you've asked Him to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins, to be in charge of your life, if you're walking with Jesus, then you've got eternal life. And nobody can take it away. Nobody can take it away. You don't have to look like... that is one of the hardest things for me to look at, is to look at someone who says, I'm a Christian, and this is what they look like. Boy, that's real inspiring. That makes me want to be one too. Makes me want to believe in God when I see Christians like this all the time, living defeated lives, thinking, well, I just can't make it. Everything's so horrible. Doom and gloom, and I just don't know. Maybe tomorrow will happen. Goodness. Where's the joy of Jesus? Where is the joy of our salvation? Where is the fact that we have eternal life impacting our daily living? How does that happen? Where does it go? If it goes somewhere else, why are we allowing it to go anywhere except to stay right in our hearts. In Him, your life is one in which His hand is always in yours. Paul, in his letter to the Christians in Philippi, wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men." He sounds like he's talking about how we are to live. "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding and comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Wow. He is helping these Christians to know how to live their lives as a child of God, as a child of the risen Savior. If Christ has risen in your heart, then you can rejoice in the Lord always. Always. I know I've heard passages like this preached. I've heard stuff like this preached. And it's almost as if the preacher is saying to you, "My house is burning down behind me, but I'm going to just rejoice in the Lord." It's okay to be sorry. Not sorry, but sad. It's okay to mourn. Those are your memories in that house. Those are pictures and picture books and things, that items that were special to you. It's okay to hurt. If any preacher tells you, "Well, you just need to rejoice in the Lord. If you're hurting, that's of the devil." Look, just turn around and say, "Excuse me, I'm going to talk to Jesus about this." Look, yeah, and in the lingo of the day, you don't need that negativity. We can rejoice in the Lord because what God has done for us, that's what we're rejoicing in. We're not rejoicing in the fact that our house may have just burned down. We're not saying, "Yay, we lost our house." That's not what the Bible is teaching. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's specific. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So he's helping us to learn how to live with a risen Savior in our hearts. And it's not just sometimes, not when it's easy, but when it's difficult. Why? Because you know where you're going when you leave this earth. And it's easy to rejoice in that. And we should do it often. This peace that surpasses all understanding is the peace of God, that our eternal destination is secure. With that settled, listen to this. This is very important. With that settled, with you knowing where you're going when you leave this earth, when you die, when you leave the face of this planet, when you have that settled, you have a peace inside of you. And you can face anything with Jesus by your side. It's true. You can face anything, no matter how big it is. Remember, this world is not your home. We're just passing through. Has Jesus been raised to life in your life? That's the first question I have for you. Has Jesus been raised to life in your life? The second thing we see, the tomb is empty. Look at the first part of verse 6. "He is not here, but he has risen." The word here translated as risen in the Greek means has been risen. And so some of our, but he has risen. Some of our translations put it that way. Some may say has been risen. In other words, who did it? God did it. God did the raising up of Jesus. So the tomb is empty. He is not there. Some of you on social media may have seen the picture I posted early this morning. I had to get that picture. I told my dad, I said, "Look, I'm gonna walk out of what we believe to be the tomb that Jesus was buried in, and I want you to take a picture of me." He's like, "Okay." I'm like, "Just play along, Dad. You know, it's okay." And I came out like this, and he took a picture. He is risen. I want you to know, I've checked it out. Naomi's checked it out. We have some others who've checked it out. They've seen. It's an empty tomb. Some will say, "Well, maybe that's not the exact tomb." I don't know. Everything they've told us, I kind of lean toward it, though. I really kind of lean toward the one they think it is. I kind of think it is. That's just me. But the tomb is empty. He's not there. However, proof that he had risen would be his appearance on the road to Emmaus and later in the upper room. So that would be, he just seals the deal there. Oh, yes. It wasn't somebody that just stole the body of Jesus. They got it out, you know. There's so many theories out there that, and by the way, a lot of those, almost all of them, I think, have been debunked. Because if you look closely at the scripture and you read it and you realize, oh, no, how did they get past the guards? And the stone, it was so big. How does that happen? When the disciples heard the news from the ladies that Jesus had risen, they rejoiced. Uh-oh. No, they didn't. They failed to believe it. What the ladies said seemed to be nonsense to him, the Bible says. They needed more proof than an empty tomb. They were still living as if Jesus were dead at that point. Now look, where were they? They were in an upper room. They were there. They were like doom and gloom. Now there you go. We've lost our Savior. Now they had a somewhat reason to feel doom and gloom, okay? You might say, well, if they'd have listened, if they'd have paid attention, Brother Craig, they'd know. They'd be looking for him. Yes, but it just didn't sink in yet at that point for them, and they thought he was gone, and they're living as if he was dead. Their failure to believe the ladies sends a strong message that they were not very hopeful that he was alive. But the ladies believed, but the disciples do not believe. They are in a state of hopelessness. Their dreams of ruling with Jesus and having him as king seem to have fallen apart. Remember, they have not yet realized and understood that his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus told Pilate those very words, my kingdom is not of this world. But the disciples did not fully understand. They're still hoping for a kingdom on this earth. They're still hoping for Jesus to be king right here, right now. But that has been dashed. Those hopes have been dashed. Some even thought that they would get to rule with Jesus. So the disciples are down and they're living like it. They were living as if Jesus was not alive. Let me ask you a question. What about you? What about you? Remember, you know Jesus is alive. You know he lives. But does he live in your heart? Are you still living as if he's in the tomb? Does your daily life show it? Does your treatment of others show that he has risen in your heart? Do the words that you choose to use show that he has risen in your heart? Are people able to see you as a resurrection person? Do they see you going down but getting right back up because you're enabled by the Holy Spirit of God? Or do they see you falling and staying down for long, long periods of time? Do they see you as one who is forgiving? One who is loving? Do they see you as one who offers grace to others and gives sacrificially of your time for them? What do they see? Are you one who lets the world get you down and it shows all over your face that you're not trusting in God? Listen, when you're not trusting in God, the world can turn you into a negative Nelly who shoots down any ideas that people have. And you can wind up being one of those people who complains about everything. Oh, that bothers me. I don't know about you, but these people, they just complain all the time about everything. You know, it's like, oh, here they come. Oh, boy, here they come. And they're, well, you know, I thought the sun was going to shine today. Oh, boy. Well, it's raining, so it reminds us that God's in control. Yeah, but I was going to do something outside. Oh, my goodness. Negative Nelly. Look, the world can just beat us to death and beat us down if we let it. But we ought to have the joy of Jesus in our hearts. We ought to be able to rejoice in the Lord. Yes. Always. Yes. Jesus did not die for us to live in a way that just complains all the time and is negative all the time. Paul said in his first letter to the Corinthians, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory. Are you living a life that shows others that there is no hope? How are you living your life? How are you interacting with people? How are you showing them that you have hope in your heart? Don't dwell in the down times. Sometimes it's so easy when you get down and I get down to just dwell there. That means to set up a house there. That means to live there. We don't need to live there. We need to live on top of that. We need to get outside of that. We need to remember who our Savior is, remember that we have a God who loves us, and stand up out of that. But boy, we let things get to us, don't we? It's too many people are dwelling in the pond of self-pity. Stand up. Grip the hand of Jesus. Walk forward. If you're a child of God, you have been enabled and empowered by God to live a life of victory. Not a life of self-pity, not a life of being down. Let Him empower you. Remember the words of Jesus Himself when He said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation." Amen? Amen. "But take courage, I have overcome the world." That's our Savior. He's overcome. He has enabled us to be people who overcome. He has enabled us to be resurrection people. That means when we get down, we can get up. That means when we get down, we don't stay there. We don't live there forever. We can get up because we have the power that God has enabled us with to get up. He's enabled us. He's empowered us. To get up. That's our God. If we're down and we stay down, that is our choice. It's not God's choice for us. We are resurrection people. God has, His choice is for us to stand up out of it. He extends His hand. Listen, His hand is in your hand. All you have to do is close your hand. Because obviously you've released some because you're down, you're bad, you're feeling horrible, and you're thinking, I don't know what to do, I just can't. Grab hold of His hand. It's there. He wants to lift you up. Let Him lift you up. Praise be to God for what He's done for us through Jesus, through His death, through His burial, and His resurrection. Has Jesus been raised to life in your life? Has He been raised to life in your life? Is it obvious? Would people say, I think they are a Christian? Would they say those words? Or would they wonder about it? Are you living as if Jesus is still dead and in the tomb? We can't afford to live that way. We can't afford to live that way because people's lives are in danger. They're in the balances and they're found wanting. They need Jesus. And we must show them what it looks like to have Jesus risen in our heart. We must live that way. So my challenge to you is that you would live. If Jesus has certainly risen in your heart, you would live in a way that shows it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, O God, for this day. Lord, we thank You for this day in which we remember what You did. On that day when Your Son rose from the grave. Wow. Thank You, God, for making it possible for us to have our sins forgiven and to be able to be with You in heaven forever. Lord, my prayer this morning is if there is someone here that needs to give their heart to You, Lord, that they would do that. They wouldn't put it off, but that they would hear Your voice. They would act upon it. Maybe there's someone here that says, wait a minute, preacher, I've got some questions. I'd love to talk to you. come speak with me. Maybe you know someone in this congregation a little bit better than me. Talk with them. They can share what it means and how you can do that too. How you too can have your sins forgiven. How you too can walk with Him. How you too can repent, turn away from your sins. Father, we give you thanks for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your forgiveness. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro. You know what you're listening to, and we hope that you will continue to listen, and we hope that we are a source of encouragement for you. We're praying for you, don't you know? The Lord knows you. He knows where you live. He knows your needs. And one of the biggest needs that you have, that all of us have as human beings, is the need to be forgiven of our sins. We have a need, and God can meet that need. If you need more information, please go to fbcwinnsboro.com. That's fbcwinnsboro.com. Till next time, this has been Pastor Craig Beeman and Words of Encouragement.